Okay, we are live.
I see the record button. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Embodiment of Soul Care, our lovely podcast. I'm Kelly. This is the beautiful Casey over here to my left. And we are on here tonight for a very special reason. I mean, this is usually our day to do this. However, it just so happens to be in the busyness of this crazy, chaotic election that's going on. A lot of vibration out there, a lot of things changing, a lot of uncertainty, and really and truly people are feeling other people's uncertainty. I know that a few days ago, I think even Casey was at my house, and I was talking to her through the window because I thought that I was actually quite ill, but really I think I had just been energetically drained and zapped by society. And no joke, like we were laughing hysterically at each other because I was like hanging on the top of the window talking to her.
It was great.
I know. So I think what we're going to start this evening with is Casey's going to help us with a centering exercise, you know, a type of meditation that will help all of you. I mean, even if that's the only part you use of this podcast, then please do, because it's something that'll help you to just hone in and be centered and be grounded within yourself, especially in this time where vibrations are all over the place. The cosmos are going crazy. This is going to be a really, really nuts month. And so this is going to be a helpful exercise for all of us. So Casey, I'm going to toss it to you. You lead us through this beautiful grounding and then we'll go from there.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, my dear.
Yes.
All right. So everyone just close your eyes and I just want you to take a few deep centering breaths. I'd like you to try breathing in through your nose and then also out through your nose. And breathe in through your nose and just a calm out breath through your nose. And now just breathe normally, breathe however feels comfortable to you. Maybe even make just an audible sigh with your out breath. Just let out anything, maybe any tension, anything you've been feeling inside of you, whether it's from yourself, from the collective, just anything. Just give yourself a moment to pause and to be. Just be. Just be with all of it. And now I want you to visualize a beautiful golden light that's centered within your heart, just within the center of you. And see this golden light. And every time you take a breath, see the light grow and expand. Perhaps you see it as a beautiful golden sphere. See this light expand. Now I want you to see this light go up your spine and down your spine, as it expands to encompass your entire body. Breathe it up into your head and allow this golden light to infuse your mind, to infuse your brain, to infuse any aspect that's been overthinking, overanalyzing, worrying, feeling fear, feeling tension. Allow this golden light to bring healing to every part of your mind and to every part of your brain. Just settle into that. This is the golden light of your heart and the golden light of your soul, just bringing you moments of peace, moments of clarity. Luxuriate in that and pause. And now this golden light, allow it to travel all the way down your spine into your gut, into your hara, into your solar plexus, down in your belly. Allow this light to infuse your belly. Any fear, any tension, any worry, any doubts, anything you've been feeling this week that is anything other than the light and the peace of God, I just want you to send this golden light, allow it to infuse your belly, feel this light of your heart and your soul, bringing peace to this area of your body. Take a deep breath. And allow it to just settle in. And now see this light returning to your heart where it's always been and always shall be. See this light expanding all the way around your body from above your head to below your feet, this beautiful sphere of light that you're encompassed within, that encompasses your soul, your spirit, who you really are, this light that never dims, this light that never changes, this light that nothing can alter. This is the light of the peace of God. And if you ever want to find it, if you ever want to look for it, you will find it. It is always here. It is always with you. Know that. Find peace in that. You are never alone. You are always surrounded by the light of God. You are the light of God. If you look for it, you will find it. You will know it. Own this light. Claim this light. Do not let anything affect this light. Nothing outside of you. No thoughts inside of you can ever affect this light. And as you take one more deep breath, be here, be now. You are here, you are now. This is the only moment there is. The only moment there is the moment you are in, and you have the power in every moment to choose the light. Make that choice and remind yourself in the moments and the days to come when you may be struggling or feeling something other than that. Feel the light, be the light. Know that you are the light. See this golden light infuse you, your body, your mind, and your soul, uniting as one. You have this power. You are this power. You are the river that flows deep underneath any noise and any chaos. Be the flow. Be the river. And now take one more deep breath and open your eyes. Smile. And we'll begin our podcast with a little bit of lightness. Was that the sound quality on that good?
Yeah, it was great. Okay. And that was a beautiful one. I really enjoyed that. And I'll tell you why. I just had shared this with Casey before we came on here. I had done a meditation today and I never really woke up from it. I've been kind of in a daze all day because of it. I think it hit a part of me that just really needed to be relaxed. And then once it was kind of that part of me was really shut off, I was, you know, in a different realm of relaxation that I hadn't had in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, where I was kind of getting a little bit like, oh my gosh, where am I? Am I here on planet Earth? So that meditation that you just did, Casey, kind of helped me to wake back up and get back and get centered where I am. So
yeah,
I appreciate that very much. And it's something that we are going to talk about tonight, is really that centering in and making sure that your stance is strong where you are. And I loved the best part of that meditation was just the reminder to everybody that this is your moment. It's right here, right now. There's no other moment that exists, and there's no more truth. There's nothing truer than that statement, because there isn't any other moment that exists. So if we can go into that space of knowing that that is our only moment, is right now, then everything that's going on around us, all this chaos, everything, doesn't even affect you. It has no bearing on you. Just keep living in your present moment. And, you know, I think that, at least for me, I know a lot of people have asked, like, oh, do you feel, you know, totally drained and out of sorts because of all this? And the answer is no, I don't. And I think that because of, and I think Casey can agree with this, is our true, true strength and belief that everything is as it should be. And there's nothing that's ever going to change that. We're being tested once again. This is the year of 2020, our vision, you know, we have to make sure that we have clear vision. This is another test for your soul, for your spirit, to get in alignment with source energy, with God, and realize that you are of great importance in this life, and it's nothing to do with anything that's going around. your daily life. It's just within you. So Casey, how about you speak a little bit about how you feel about staying positive and what you do during the day to stay positive, especially with everything going on?
Yeah, no, you know, I think so much of it goes back to, you know, we just had our podcast with August and we were talking about positive attitude and looking for the good. And I think a lot of this week that's been really powerful for me is looking for the good. Like, I'll give you an example. You know, I mean, kind of the last couple months leading up to this election, right? There's just been a lot of mostly polarizing. If someone's going to talk about politics or refer to it at all, it's going to be in a polarizing way for the most part. And that's been my experience of watching it over the last couple of months and certainly over the last year. And what's been really neat is over the last week, it was like the couple of days right before the election, and even more so these couple of days after, is that there's these little, I've noticed more and more people posting very different types of messages where it's more like, you know what, no matter the outcome, let's stand together, or, you know, let's affirm peace and love despite the outcome. I wasn't seeing that a couple weeks ago. I'm seeing that a lot right now. And even, you know, a beautiful friend of mine posted something today, just kind of stepping into the realm of curiosity. She had read this really great book that kind of, you know, framed a context for why there's so much polarity and why people can't hear each other and why people aren't listening to each other and all of that. And then she just had a very good post about, you know, where can we go from here? I don't know. I don't have the answers, right? There are no answers, but let's stay open. Let's be open. Let's open ourselves to the possibility of communicating again. And hey, I don't know quite what it looks like, but let's open the door, you know? So I've just really noticed a shift in tone. You know, I mean, some people really dug their heels in and, you know that I was kind of reactivated by some polarizing posts this week that I really then had to go within, recenter myself. That was a good test, you know, of where my energy was. I think my energy was a little, you know, kind of like everyone, a little edgier this week that I then had to do some extra work to pull myself in, some extra work to center myself, something that might not have grabbed me before kind of grabbed me this week. So some of it was still very polarizing, but like I said, I've noticed a shift, and I do think it reflects a shift within people that they're saying, you know what, this level of divisive energy is not something I want in my energy field. Because if you think about it, the golden bubble, that's your field. You have sovereignty over what you allow in your field, in your energetic field, in your spirit field. What are you going to allow in your bubble? And what are you going to say, you know what? No. You know, it's kind of like last December when I really allowed grace to just infuse my field. It was like bitterness couldn't live there anymore. You know, and I think people, what I've noticed in the last week is some people are going, wow, I don't want division in my field. I don't want polarizing energy in my field. You know what? I'm gonna shift that. And we do have that power. And so that's been really really heartening for me. And part of it was I was looking for it, right? I was looking for the good. And guess what? I found it. And that's the essence. It's like, if you're gonna, you know, we talk so much about coming from ego versus coming from spirit. If you're gonna come from ego, you can find division everywhere. You can find polarity everywhere. You can find evidence everywhere for who to blame and who's wrong and who's right and who's this and who's that and boom, 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 boom out there, right? You'll find it if you want to look for it.
Right.
You want to look for the good. And if you want to look from spirit, you're going to find all kinds of reasons to be hopeful, to be curious, to be open, to be, wow, look at the spirit of humanity. It's there. It's all over the place. You know, you just have to look for it. And so, you know, I really, that's kind of where I'm stepping into, you know, especially right now, is that type of space. That's what I want in my bubble. That's what I want to affirm. You know, that's for me where the peace of God is. You know, and kind of the other, what I was going to say, Kelly, you know, as we're talking about this ego type of energy, you know, and we were talking about, the phrase that came to me was like, there's just so much outward projection right now to avoid inner reflection. Right. You know, and this election has been such a, oh my God, that rhymed too. Election, projection, reflection. I mean, oh my God. That was too
funny. We are on it tonight.
This election has brought about, no, but it was like, you know, and that's so much what the ego does, right? This election has just made it so much more amplified, you know, amplified personally, amplified collectively, you know, so it's given it this amplification, but it's always been there, right? It's like anytime we don't want to go within, we're just going to project it out, see it outside of us, see blame outside of us, see division outside of us. And what is that? It's reflecting the division within every one of us between ego and spirit. The moments that we're not willing to step into spirit, to embrace spirit, to look for the good, are the moments that we're in ego. And so if we can project the ego outside of us, we can see it everywhere out there. And we don't have to look for it in here. So that's, you know, one of our invitations. I'm certainly taking this invitation for myself. Anytime I feel like I'm projecting something outward, judging something outward, analyzing it outward, bringing it back inside. Number one, to center myself. And number two, to see where could I reflect? Where can I have inner reflection? Where can I bring myself back to spirit? Where can I heal my own division between ego and spirit? You know, it's healing ourselves. And then the outer projection and the outer reflection will look different once we heal the inner. So do you want to talk a little bit more about that, Kelly?
Yeah. I mean, that it's funny that you had just mentioned that, because prior to you just going off on that spiel, I had written down, do not try to control other people's thoughts, because those thoughts are projections of your own inner thought. And so it's that whole process of, you know, we've talked about this before, of forgiving yourself, giving yourself forgiveness and forgiving and giving allowance to yourself too, to be who you are in this present moment. And not then, you know, looking to somebody else to try to change how they're feeling or what they're thinking in order to make yourself feel better. And I think that seems to be a going trend right now, other than, you know, the positivity that you have seen. It's been an ongoing factor of, hey, if you don't think like I do, then you're an idiot. And if you do think like I do, then okay, come on over and come into my group. You know, and it's more of like, well, why are we separating that? Why can't you look at the perspective of the other person and see it as their own presence and their human experience, and then look at your own and say, okay, well, where do I not feel comfortable with my own that I'm actually looking for justification of why they feel the way they do or why they don't feel the way I do? So it's all going back to, again, to yourself. I mean, there's nowhere to run. Ever. You know, you can't escape by trying to project on someone else, because tomorrow you're going to be looking for someone else to project, and the other, and next day, and the next day, and the next day, because it's always starting within yourself. Right. And it's never going away until you take a really, really good look at it. So I agree. I have seen some really positive comments, like you said, because I think people are getting to that point where they're tired of trying to convince somebody of their beliefs, because they don't even know in themselves if that's their true belief. You know, I think that everybody's wearing out, they're getting tired, they're getting frustrated, and they're just, they've seen enough. It's like, okay, you know what? You can all come to the table and share this cup of wine.
Yeah. You know, Kelly, I want to share this with you, because you were just talking today about A Course in Miracles and where it came from. It's a spiritual path that I've followed for years and found to be enormously helpful in all of this. And here's what's neat about what you just said. The way the course came about through the woman who channeled it was she was with a colleague and they weren't getting along. They could not get along. They could not agree. They were competing. They were fighting. It was constant division. It was constant you versus me. Exact energy we have now. And they were in the car going to some kind of, they were both professors going to some kind of conference or whatever. And Bill, who was her colleague, turned to, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting her name right now. That's so amazing, because I've only, anyway, it doesn't matter.
He
turns to her, the woman who channeled the course, and he says, there has to be another way. And she looked at him and she said, you're right. There does. And that was what opened the door. Like there just has to be another way. And I think that's where people are hitting right now is, oh, Helen Schuckman. Helen.
Helen, there we go.
there has to be another way. You know, this us versus them. Uh-huh. Okay. But there has to be another way because this really doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Does it make anybody feel good? Does it really work for anyone? Right. Does it really work for you when you say, when you're thinking in your head, mm-hmm. like you said, that person's an idiot, or they just don't get it, or they're this, right. or they're right. that. And then you're interpreting, number one, what you think they're thinking. You don't even know if that's what they're thinking. We now live in just this world of caricatures. I mean, mm-hmm. both sides just have a caricature of the other side. They're not even human anymore. You know, we've mm-hmm. dehumanized each other. And it's like you're, yes. whether you're a this supporter or a that supporter, you now have some caricature that that person has to fit in. And nobody fits that caricature exactly. But somehow we feel comfortable putting people in this box as if they fit in that box at all, right? So it's... And it's like, there has to be another way. And people mm-hmm. want another way. Our souls want, we don't want to live like this. We don't want to live in someone else's box. We don't want to live in our own box. We want to be the free, beautiful spirit of light that we are. All of us want that, you know? And so we need to call that out of each other. There has to be another way. And there is another way if we choose it. And it starts with us. Start with yourself and choose another way.
Right. And that, you know, I have to, because when you listen to this, you're going to kick yourself in the ass, but because there's one word that you used that, you said that we're dehumanizing, right? But really what we're doing is we're humanizing everybody.
Yeah.
We're taking everybody to that human level and we're just existing in the ego mind. And if we lift out of that, and we actually did dehumanize.
Right. Yes. Know? Let's dehumanize.
if we do dehumanize everybody, then we're going to be in that more powerful space, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we do, we need to dehumanize. Well, we need to take away the person, the persona, the personal
the personality.
Aspects.
Yeah. Remember like only the personalities.
The attachments of all the personalities, you know, the attachments of, I am a Democrat. You are a Republican. I believe in this and you believe in that. And it's like, no, really and truly, you need to disintegrate all of those things and realize truly where you come from. And that base of where you come from would never in a million years put any labels on you because you have no form, you have no structure, you have nothing other than you are this,
light.
You are this beautiful light form.
Yeah. So good, Kelly. I love that.
Yeah. So really and truly, we want to dehumanize everybody. You know, we don't want to be in that human space.
Yeah.
And I find that with so many people. I mean, in all of our suffering, we all suffer because we suffer from being the person. Mm-hmm. What brings suffering to your life? You know, the things that you think that you are, the things that come in to your daily repertoire that cause pain, that cause suffering. And it's releasing all of those things. And especially this on a global aspect, whether it's coronavirus or it's the election here in the United States of America or wherever people are dealing with elections. I mean, look at all of the stuff that happens with elections. It's because there isn't an agreeance in that egotistical space. There never will be.
Yeah.
So don't try to make it work. Remove yourself from that instead and come from a really good place of love and centered being. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I, what did I say to you this week? I wanted to use that quote, remember? And I told you, I don't have any idea whose quote it is. Let me see if I can't find it, but it was so powerful. It was, oh gosh. And I'm being honest, I heard it and I have no idea who it comes from, but here it is. When the ego weeps for what it has lost, the spirit rejoices in what it has found. Hmm. Okay. So there's so much in that because of course the ego is going to weep whenever they're losing anything.
Yeah.
The spirit says, yes, yes, yes. The more that you lose, the more prevalent and the more profound you can see that life truly is. You know, you can actually join the song because there isn't all of the interruptions. You can hear the music because you don't have all the static.
Yeah.
So, you know, letting go of all of those things in life that are making you hold on and grasp and hate and be in discontent and be fearful. And that's another thing that I keep hearing is the word fear constantly from people. You know, what are they going to do to us? I mean, or should we live in it? We're so scared of what's coming next. What are you afraid of? Mm-hmm. Nothing can destroy you. Mm-hmm. And I wish, it can destroy this human body, but who cares? It's you're leaving anyways at some point. Like if it comes to that,
and like we talked about with August, half the time that we just did in the podcast, half the time you're creating something that's going to happen. And usually it never even goes that badly. It never goes that way. Or it's not as bad as you thought.
Right.
Or, you know, there's other positive outcomes. Like, we generally tend, you know, kind of the worries and the fear. It's a lot darker than it really turns out, usually.
Always.
Know, and it's good to keep that in mind. It's like half the time what we're worrying about doesn't even manifest. Not even a portion of it, you know, maybe a small portion of it manifests. But we make it so big and we blow it up so big that if we just kept it in perspective, you know, and the power of perception of how we're perceiving it, you know, I mean, so much, but it's just the power we're giving to it. And it doesn't even go that way. And then we just spent all that energy and wasted all that energy. I mean, think of all the wasted fear energy right now that could be spent towards love and towards openness and towards compassion. I mean, all this energy we're funneling towards division and fear, funnel it to light, funnel it to compassion. You know, where do you want to, which wolf do you want to feed? You know, that whole thing, you know, choose because you're feeding something.
Yeah. And, you know, and that goes back to, you know, many times we've talked about thought, you know, thought, be careful, be conscious of your thoughts, like actually be in the conscious mind. You know, how are you thinking? How are you seeing things? And where is that energy of thought going?
Yeah.
Is it in a pause? Is it like August talked about? Is it down the positive road or is it down the negative road?
You know what I think is interesting about what you just said? It reminds me a lot about groupthink as well, because you don't just need to be conscious of what you're thinking. You need to be conscious of what you're allowing yourself to feed into in terms of groupthink. There's so much groupthink right now. You know, it's like, and someone was saying it today. I was listening to a podcast and it was really good. And they were talking about, it feels like connection. I mean, all humans, we want to feel connected, right? And most of we need to feel connected to ourselves, but we're constantly looking outside for connection. But so much of it right now is very false connection, because it's just like basically if we have a common enemy or if we agree on the same thing against the other side, against something else, oh, now we're connected. That's not real connection. You know, just because you agree against something, that's not true heart, love, connection, right? Like there's a whole different level of connection that we need to get to versus just this us versus them false kind of connection. So pay attention to where you're feeding into groupthink, to where you're feeding into kind of this like mass hysteria. You know, each side has like their own version of like mass hysteria and none of us fit on one side or the other. You know, it's kind of back to the character thing, but you know, just pay attention. Pay attention to when you're feeding into the group narrative and step back for a minute. Oh, and this, Kelly, is what I had wanted to talk about, was the witness. Be the witness for a moment. See what the storyline is. It's all largely a story. You know, everyone's weaving a story right now. What stories are you buying into? There's a lot of group stories. There's a lot of group think. You know, really kind of take a step back, center yourself, own your power again. And then you might hear it differently. What they're saying, you might hear it differently. You might have some distance from it. You might have a different perspective on it. It's just something to play with, right? But just keep in mind that there's also a lot of energy to this kind of groupthink that if you can pull yourself out, you know, I mean, if you're, you know, the witness space is very similar to just being in spirit. You know, you can hear things differently. You can see things differently because you're not so in it. You're not so drowned by it. You're not so consumed by it that there is some lightness. There is some perspective. There is some distance. There is that 30,000 foot view where even if it's just a couple moments of the day, a couple minutes of the day, turn it then into a couple hours of the day, you know, that can start to bring you some relief. Pull yourself out where and when you can and just consider it. Just play with it. You know, consider that it's kind of like, what if you think is true isn't necessarily the truth?
Right.
I don't know. It's up for you to say. It's up for every person to say what is true for them. But maybe don't get so attached. You know, it goes back to, are you really attached to what's true and what the facts are and who's this and who's that? And, you know, it's like, I don't know, unattach a bit, right? And see what flows in. There's no flow in attachment. You know, there's no flow in any of that. So restore some flow and it'll, I mean, it's helping me this week. That's for sure.
You know, I mean, you made some really good points there. And I just want to kind of comment on a little bit there is when you were talking about you know, the group thinking. I mean, that's something for a little bit of, you know, some self-inquiry.
Like, yes,
where are you empty that you need a group thought? You know, where are you insecure about your own thinking that you need to join a group and go on with what they're thinking?
Yeah, feel an agreement. Oh, we all agree. Right, yay.
Right. And start to feel that agreement within yourself. And then when you were talking about, you know, the witness, I mean, this is such a powerful exercise for people to do, Casey. And it's looking at who's speaking, who's thinking, and then saying, well, who's seeing that thinker? And then who's seeing the seer, who's seeing the thinker? You know, and you keep going. And then you realize, you know, down at the end of the stream, you find it in yourself. I'm not going to give anybody the answer because I want everybody to kind of look into that thought pattern. Like, who is seeing this? Who is feeling this? And, you know, the spirit self is never going to have a true feeling other than love. So who's seeing this and feeling this anger? And then going a step further, and who's seeing that? And who's seeing that? And who's seeing that? And just going into the total inwardness of who you truly are and getting in touch with that. I mean, this is an ample opportunity for people, like we said just a few minutes ago, to get in true touch with who they are in this turmoil. And I know this is like the hardest time for anybody to sit down and do any type of meditation or self-reflection because they're so pissed off and so mad, but that's the time that you have to do it.
The best time.
It's the best time because it's the biggest test for you. So yeah, who is the seer? That's what I, you know, that's homework for everybody. Who is the seer of all of this? Who is witnessing this?
Who is the experiencer? This is all just an experience, you know, and we are creating this experience collectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I think, yeah, no, that's really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's one of those questions where you're kind of like, well, I don't know. You know, like, okay, well, here's an example. Like, your eyes can't see themselves, right? So who's seeing through the eyes? Because your eyes aren't seeing themselves. So who's seeing your eyes to see what they're seeing? You know, I mean, it's like, it's really questioning you and it's all about you. So instead of going out there and looking for group thought and who can I glob onto, you have so many questions to answer just right there in you. You know, why are you feeling that? Why? And then who's feeling that? And just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and really get to know yourself. So, I like that. I like, I personally love these challenges. I love when the world goes like this. I love it because it's almost like, you know, you all could come after me because maybe I'm the one that calls for it. I don't know, but you know, other people, but
definitely blame you.
Yeah. I mean, I love when conflict is presented and it's on such a mass level, because to me, it's such an opportunity to turn that light on, you know, and really see where we're at. See where you're at, where you're holding strong, where you're not. I mean, your daily things of like, oh, I got in a fight with my husband, or my kids, I yelled at them today, or, oh, they're fighting and I don't know how to do it. Those are like minuscule shit, little things that really have no fucking bearing on anything. It's like, there's a human experience. But when it goes to this like level where people are questioning their own faith and questioning their religious beliefs and questioning who they love and who they want to be friends with and who they don't, it's like, here's the fun, you know? So right? I wish that everybody would look at it like that. Like, here is the fun. Here's the juice. Yeah. And if you can come out of this with your fresh glass of beautiful juice and know that you are a power, then nothing's going to stop you. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where you can capture you and truly start to love you and realize that you are all you really have when it comes down to it. You know, Jojo over there that you thought was your buddy now doesn't believe like you. You don't believe like them, and they ditched you on the side of the road. I mean, you're standing alone, many of you. And this is your opportunity to realize that you never are truly alone. You're with the person who came with you and will leave with you and will always be with you. So, and I say person because I'm trying to connect instead of being like, this is your deepened conscious self that came with you, you know? So, you know, just truly having a belief in you.
And you know what else I think is powerful at times like this? I was thinking this week and someone else was talking about it. It's like, you know, find the peace in the paradox. I was listening to an awesome podcast by Brené Brown, and she was talking about strong back, soft front, wild heart. And I loved it, you know, kind of like the strong and the soft, like how do you be tough but vulnerable at the same time? You know, how do you open yourself to the world and have an open heart, but also, you know, either not like protect yourself in the ways you need to, but maintain your sovereignty, you know, and not allow things, you know, be open to the outside, but not allow things from the outside to affect you too much. It's a paradox, you know, and the more that you can live inside the paradox and not resist the paradox, well, it shouldn't be this way, it should be another way. You know, I mean, peace is just knowing that there is no should be another way. It is what it is. What's so is what's so in every moment, you know? So how do you, and I loved her three words: strong back, soft front, wild heart, you know, kind of that wildness kind of brings in the wild card, you know, like how do you then kind of, you know, be tough, but vulnerable, but also just have some kind of wildness that allows for openness and curiosity and creativity and solutions or answers or ideas to come in that, you know, maybe you don't think of, but that arise mm-hmm. from spirit, you know, kind of that Einstein quote. It's like, you can't solve something with the same thinking that created it. Well, we're not going to solve any of this mess with the same level of negative divisive energy that created it in the first place. It's not, it's just going to create more of the same. So, you know, rising above that will take a different kind of energy. It'll take a certain kind of wildness and a willingness to just stand inside the unknown and say, I don't know how this is going to happen, but that you do have almost like that stubborn part of you, that like a stubborn positive attitude, you know, like no matter what's going on or what it looks like. I mean, it's messy. Life is messy, you know, and it's so great that it's in our face right now, because life is always messy, but we like to pretend like you can fit it in a box. And right now, like nobody can fit it in a box. It's so great. It's like so challenging, you know?
Why would you ever want to fit life in a box? You know?
So, I mean, we want it to be like neat somehow and all wrapped up, you know? So it's good. It's in our face. It's messy. It's like, allow the mess to be there. Allow some of that wildness to just be there and navigate through it with your own power, with your own sense of centeredness, you know? So I don't know. It's just like, really inspiring. I love that, because I think we have a hard time with the paradox. We have a hard time with contradiction. You know, it's that whole life is bittersweet. You know, it's bitter, it's sweet. It's kind of a little bit of all of it, you know, and if you can be with that, then I think you can embrace it. But if you can't be with it, if it needs to be another way, if it needs to be a certain way, you know, that's when the human comes in, right? It's like, you know, the mind comes in, and the mind controls and the ego controls and the human controls. And like you said, dissolve the human, dissolve that ego structure, dissolve some of that, unattach yourself from it so that something new can flow in. What is that exactly? I don't know. And it, you know, every person can kind of explore that for themselves, but you know, is life an adventure or is life fitted inside the box thing? You know, I don't know. Yeah. Right? What do you want it to be?
Yeah. And you know, that leads me to another quote. I have no idea who said it either. I'm so good at these, but it just came to my head. You know, it's that saying that the wise man builds a home from the stones that are thrown at him. You know? So, I mean, do that. That's an opportunity for you all to do this. Build your home with all of these stones that are being thrown, and realize that each of them are a part of making you more ascended to the spirits that be, wiser to all of your situations that you will ever experience in life. I mean, use these as stepping stones, as opportunities. And always know that everything that you're looking for, the answer is where you're looking from. You know, it's always within you. You always have an answer to everything. If you just can shut the fuck up for
Get quiet enough and relax enough.
Yes. That's the whole thing. It's like, just shut your mouth, shut your mind off, and everything will become so crystal clear to you. Whether it's, and I'm not saying you even need an answer. I mean, there's so many times that I have to sit down and say to myself, okay, I'm in a state of chaos. I'm suddenly stressed out. What the hell's going on? And I don't necessarily need an answer. I just need a moment to be quiet.
Yeah.
And to home back into exactly where we started this podcast, which is right here, right now, and being present in my space and in my being. And allowing the rest to just, you know, fall around me however it may, but knowing that I'm not going to fall with it. And that is something that everybody needs to really and truly remember, is that if you want to fall with it, you shall. But if you want to stand while it all falls, you certainly can.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody that says you have to do anything. Yeah. It's entirely up to you at all times how you're going to come out of all of this. Mm-hmm. And I choose the high road. I choose the positive road to put my school bus on, as August says, you know?
Exactly.
Go yes. down the positive. I don't want to go down the Halloween road when I can go down the summer road. Are you kidding me? No way. So choose the correct road. I mean, that's what you're here to do, is to find out your path, literally.
And to create
make sure
it.
That it's a positive yeah. one. Right. Yes. Yes.
Well, and it brings me the other point that I've really been thinking about the last couple of days is our children. You know, whether you're a mm-hmm. parent, or whether you just have nieces or nephews, or whether you just, you know, are a human being who cares about the children as our future. And I mean, it goes back to the old, you know, they're gonna more imitate how you act and not what you say. You know, you can say all the right words, be kind, be compassionate, you know, try and teach them all these things. But if you're not demonstrating that, they're not going to learn that, you know? And mm-hmm. with all of this kind of division and polarity energy, it's like, if that's what you're exuding in the home, that's what they're learning. I don't care how many times you tell them to be kind. You have to demonstrate that level of kindness. You have to demonstrate that level of non-judgment or openness or curiosity or ability to, you know, allow others to be who they are, and you have your thoughts and they have their thoughts, and, you know, and let it be. If we don't demonstrate that, they don't learn that. And that's so much for mm-hmm. ourselves. You know, I mean, we do it first for ourselves, but also for those who are watching, who are looking to us for how should I be in the world? You know, am I safe expressing my opinion? Am I going to lose a relationship because we don't agree on certain things? You know, can we not be friends because we don't agree? I mean, these are really very basic things, but I've started to really notice, I don't know, just how much the children in our lives are listening and watching and learning. And it's a good thing for us to keep in mind, a good reason for us to come from a place of spirit, because if you come from a place of spirit, you're teaching from a place of spirit and you're mm-hmm. demonstrating from a place of spirit. You know, that's just been another really powerful thing I've been thinking about this week, in terms of why it's important. You know, that's just another layer to it. But that really makes a difference as well. So, mm-hmm. and any of that energy we put out affects and impacts everyone. You know, we are constantly radiating that energy outside of us, right, and anything right. you do to radiate light instead of radiating the negativity, it makes a difference.
Yep.
It makes a difference for you. It makes a difference for your family. It makes a difference for your children. It makes a difference for anyone in your life that you love and care about and that is impacted by you in any way. And it also makes a difference for the butterfly on the other side of the world. You know, I mean, it all relates. So mm-hmm. You are powerful. Your energy is powerful. Own yeah. that. Play with that. Don't get weighed down by that. Just work with it. Yeah. Just appreciate it. Just, you know, tap into that love and light within, like we say, that isn't impacted by anything outside of you or any thoughts inside of you either.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And find some time in these days to have that space for yourself. You know, that right. few minutes of meditation, like good I always point. Say, you know, I tell a lot of clients, you don't have to find an hour mm-hmm. in a day.
Yeah.
Find 5 minutes, and everyone can, while you're on the shitter. It doesn't matter. Like, just find the 5 minutes to just zone out, like put down the phone, put down the iPad, put down the book, put down the music, put down everything, and just be quiet for a moment and reconnect with self, reconnect with spirit, reconnect with the sources that be, and allow yourself to have that energy flow in at least 5 minutes a day. And it will make a huge difference in your life. Yeah. It'll bring light to it that you never expected. You know, back to a little bit of, on the kid thing. Yeah. I mean, you will reflect to them how, you know, they will reflect back to the world. And it's important that you teach them the positive vibrations of this life, you know, and what makes for a clean and cool experience. If we sit there with loaded with negativity and judgment, like you were saying, Casey, then we create that for them, and we create that in their cellular makeup as well. Right. So vibration is powerful, and it's important that we keep those vibrations high so that they develop with a good cellular foundation of high vibration. And knowing too that the world is an illusion, and what you put out, you get back. It's a mirror all the time. So 40 years from now, if your kids are sitting there yelling at you like you were in the kitchen, don't be surprised why, because it's always a mirror. It's always going to come back. So
have the
high vibrations in your homes right now. Most importantly, have them within. And then of course they will be within your home.
Yep.
That's all for me.
And within your home, right? Within
the whole.
You know, I love what you said about the stones building.
Yeah.
It's like there's
a place. Whoever said that. I mean,
oh, it's so beautiful. I love how every stone has a place. You know, everything that happens has its place. Allow that home to be in your heart at all times. Carry it with you. You always have it. You can always, it's always, always there. Just believe in that. Believe in yourself.
Yep.
It starts at home. Literally at home.
Yes. And you know, we believe in all of you, even though you don't need us to tell you that, because it means nothing.
But it doesn't hurt.
You believe in yourself.
I believe in you, Kelly. Do you believe in me?
Believe in you, Casey. Thank you. I do. And I'm actually going to be on the reading train, because Casey has literally turned me on to the Course of Miracles. I can't even believe that I never read this this book, and I'm really excited about it because it has now been thrown in my face. Literally, I was telling
What was the most recent occasion? Like, what came up?
You know, I was watching, I think I was watching a YouTube video, maybe of Muji, my man.
Okay.
And it was like one of the ads in there.
Interesting. Really?
And I was like, and I had heard of it a long time ago, you know, because it's been out for 20 plus years, since the 80s, right?
Something late
like
70s.
That. So
really almost,
so, okay. So almost 40 years, like over 40 years. And so, I'm going to pick this book up. Casey read it 14 years ago. You said
I was introduced to it 14 years ago, and it's definitely the foundation of my spiritual transformation. But here's what I love about it. Cause I talked about in JJ's session about finding answers, and I had this, you know, drive to find answers, and why is life the way life is? Why is there suffering on the planet? And here, what I love about it, I mean, it has such rich, beautiful answers. Very simple. I mean, it's this like huge, thick book, which really
Is it like 1,000 pages or something?
Three sentences. You know, I mean, the beginning of it is I'm not going to get it quite correctly, but, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. You know, it's literally only love is real. Only God is real. Like nothing real can be threatened. The light in your, like nothing can threaten the truth and the light of who we are. Nothing. And nothing unreal exists. Nothing but love actually exists. That's all just illusion. Here it lies the peace of God. And that's why my driving force for all those years was, I want it. It was literally like the Course says, like to want the peace of God, you know, to want it is nothing, but to really, I'm not thinking of the right words. It's really beautiful. I said it in one of our other podcasts.
Well, you'll think of it, but the
like
only
just
reason
wanting it isn't enough. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like to have, to be.
You have already have it. You're already
the
it.
Peace of God is everything. You know, to want it is nothing. To be it is everything.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of all spiritual pursuit. You know, so it's just It's a really, really, I mean, the language of it is beautiful. It's written in like iambic pentameter. Like it's literally poetry. And what I was telling Kelly is what's cool about it. And as I said this to you, I'm like, you know what? I should start the 365 day thing again. You could do it like as many times because it's always,
yeah, there's a whole course in the back of it and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like a 365 day, it'll just like do it one lesson a day and you do it 365 days. And it just like, it walks you through this beautiful path from like detaching. You first kind of detach from the world, detach from your thoughts, detach from it all. And then you really deepen in who you are as the love of God within. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because obviously this, like anything in life, like everything comes to you at its divine timing, you know, and suddenly this book has just been calling to me and calling to me. So I'm going to do it. And I'm inviting, you know, our listeners to go ahead and purchase this book too, because I have a feeling that as I am going through this book, I'm going to have discussions with Casey that I think then are going to be extremely beneficial here on the podcast.
So
and if people are reading it along with us and doing the course of it with us, then it's going to be that much more powerful. And it can almost be like an awakening for all that are joining in. So I think that it would be something worthwhile going to purchase. I think I looked it up. It's like $40, but the reason is because it's 1100 pages or something obscure like that.
Oh, it
but,
is.
I've
never, by the way, ever read it all the way through. I've kind of done my thing and jumped around and listened to different teachers who teach about it and whatever. I mean, you don't have to read
I'm diving in like it's my Bible. Okay. So I will be reading it in great.
I'll drop it off for you tomorrow because I have two copies. So I'm going to bring you one.
Special. I know. And Matt's all excited to get it to me for Christmas. So he'll be like, what are you reading? All right. Well, you know what? Be the love and the light within. We love all of you. Take care of yourselves. Be careful with yourselves right now, please. Pay attention to the words that you're using, the things that you're doing, and know that those are all manifesting something. So make sure that they're very powerful. So in a good way.
Yep. Take care of you.
Yes. And we'll talk to you maybe when this election is over, unless it drags on forever, which is fine.
Well, what we are doing, so our next podcast is right before Thanksgiving, and we're just going to do a whole podcast on gratitude, you know, and just really center ourselves in the vibration of gratitude and the silver linings and looking for the good and just having that vibration strong in your field. So we're really looking forward to that one. So just hold gratitude in your field. That was, you know, the other thing I was talking to August about tonight was like one of the most powerful ways to switch your attitude. What is it? Gratitude.
There's
nothing more powerful than an attitude of gratitude to just, you can switch it in an instant and feel filled with love and with God in a moment if you choose to. So we'll leave this podcast with the vibration of gratitude.
Yeah. And if any of you have anything that you're extremely grateful for, or something that you gave gratitude to in your life that changed your life, please do share it with us. We'd love to hear that. So,
perfect.
Well, thank you all. And hang in there.
You've got this.
Yes. All right. We love you all.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.